This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Clouds to the left of me, darkness to the right, here I am stuck in the middle of you.
Hi, I'm Tracy.
And I'm Susan.
And this is the club for women in the middle.
You know, the ones with little kids and big kids and aging parents and work and hormones and money and a to-do list that breeds overnight.
Welcome to the Sandwich Club. So, Susan, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? What's in your sandwich today?
My sandwich is completely empty. It's just bread and butter.
Right.
Because there is no other person in my life that needs to be in the sandwich, based on what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, well, mine's probably overflowing with some smelly something. Okay. So, tell me more.
Well, so lots of conversations that came up at our launch about midlife dating, which we're not going to talk about today. But it did make me think about the differences between people who are in their 50s and living alone and people who are in their 50s and married, and in particular women who are juggling a partner as part of their sandwich after 25, 30 years marriage. The midlife crisis that men have, all of that. So, you know, there's humour, but seriousness.
Seriousness as well. Yeah, it gets quite a serious thing. So you are alone.
Yep.
And so it always sounds awful.
Like, alone. Yes. Yeah. You're not lonely.
You're not lonely.
Not lonely. Yes. So, yeah. So I've been living without another adult in the house for 17, nearly 18 years. Okay. Yep. 18 years next month. It's just how it is now.
Yeah.
Just gotten used to it.
Yeah.
Don't know if I'd ever have space for another.
This is the thing, hey.
Adult.
I think you get used to kind of doing everything the way you want to do it. Mm. I think when you're living with someone, there's always the consideration. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe as you get on a little bit, you don't. You're not so worried about the what the other person does. So yeah. So there's that. And I remember once saying to a friend who was single, "You're so lucky because you can do whatever you want." And she looked at me and she said, "Actually, sometimes I just love a little bit of companionship."
Mm.
So don't say, "I think sometimes that you're lucky." She did say sometimes because she realized. But she said, don't discount the fact that it is kind of, it can be lonely sometimes. And I look at you and think, oh, I'd love that. Even with all the drama that comes with it and maybe some of the irritation.
Yeah, I had a friend who I don't actually see anymore, but I had a friend when I'd only been single parent a couple of years, and our kids were friends, so we saw each other. And she must have had an argument with her husband that day or something, I don't know. Anyway, she said to me, "Oh, you're just so lucky, you know, you don't have to worry about another person and whatever." And she caught me on a bad day.
Yeah.
And I said, "Look, I'll tell you what we'll do. I want you to go home now, tell him you're leaving him, and just pack up and go."
Yeah.
She just looked at me and she went, "Why would I? No, no, you just told me that I have the best life. So I want you to do that.
Yeah.
And you need to live alone for at least 2 years with those kids, because that's how long I've been on my own.
Yeah.
Come back then, to me. Let me know how you got on." And she just looked at me. She's horrified. And I thought, well, actually, that's how I feel. And then I don't know if I've related this story before, but I was in an op shop. Again, not a great day. It was my first time in an op shop. The it was back when I didn't go to op shops. The humiliation of having to shop in an op shop.
Oh,
my God. Snuck in the door. I was getting changed, had one kid in a pram, getting changed in this tiny, because they were huckery back in the day.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
And a woman came in. She said to the lady on the counter, "Oh, how are you? Oh, it's great to see you." You know, these two old ladies. They were probably in their 50s, but at the time I thought they were these old ladies. "Oh, yeah, so-and-so, you know, Reg or whatever his name was, is just retired. Oh, it's such a nightmare. He's under my feet all day long." I absolutely saw red. I ripped the curtain open. I walked over and I said, "You listen to me, lady. I'm a single mother and I'd give anything to have someone under my feet today." And this poor woman, she was, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I walked out of the shop. I was so embarrassed.
What the heck?
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Just caught me at a bad moment, you know?
Yeah.
But now I look at the constant negotiation.
Yes.
And maybe it's happy negotiation, but the negotiation that my married friends or partnered friends have to do for everything.
Yes.
What's for dinner?
Yes.
Where are we going on the weekend? Yeah. Where are we going for holiday? Do we upgrade our house? All of the things, from the tiniest little decisions to the big ones.
Yeah.
I could not be asked. Yeah, honestly, like, I'm like, no, I'm just perfectly happy.
Yeah, and I can do what I want.
With, and if I want to have a, you know, empty piece of bread and butter for dinner, I can. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. But also, if I feel a decision, if I want to have a holiday in a particular place, I don't have to negotiate with how my money's being spent or how whatever. And there's real freedom in that. And yes, right now with no income on the horizon, it'd be quite nice to have a rich boyfriend. So if there's any out there, if anyone's got any brothers, fathers, sons, that'd be nice. But I think for the most part, I'm really, really quite happy being just me. I'm really happy seeing that my ex-husband's repartnered and happy. Yeah. I really love that my daughter's partnered and happy. Yeah. Eventually my son will be too, I'm sure. But I don't yearn for that for myself.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, when I think about it, there's that negotiation of everything that you have to do. I've got a little bit better at, because sometimes you go, should we go on holiday? Should we do this? And then there's, if there's a little bit of resistance or even just he doesn't really do it. A friend of mine said, this is how you have to do it. You tell him we're going to this, we're doing this for holiday and we're doing that for holiday. And most of the time they just don't want to organize it. And so if you just organise and say, we're going and I've already paid for it and we're going, and I tried it once and it worked, I'm like, okay. So just take charge, because he actually does, that's often why he doesn't want to do that. So, you know, you talk about being alone but not lonely. I think one of my biggest, not heartbreaks, but a real moment of, oh my goodness, this is not fun, was right in the middle of the MBA, because you kind of get disconnected from this man. We had to write this assignment, and in that moment, I was sitting there, and because I was so busy with everything, he kind of made a new little life for himself and had all these things that he was doing, and I was sitting in the lounge. He was in the lounge playing a game, and I suddenly went, this is the loneliest place. How can I be so lonely with a person in the room?
Mm.
And now I understand what kind of went on, but I think that's can happen with a lot of people, being in a relationship and yet being desperately alone and feeling like you're invisible. So, and you kind of think, well, here you have this other person, but you might be totally disconnected from them.
Mm.
And so we've kind of had to reignite the fire, which is a little Kindle.
No more eyebrows for you, Tracy.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like it's a flaming, like in your 20s, you're like, you spark every time you look at each other.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of, I said to him once, and he was offended by it. I said, you're like a comfortable old chair. And I meant that in a really nice way.
Springs
and
he was like, poking in.
Gee, thanks. But my thought was that we're great friends.
Mm.
He often says, you're my best friend, and which is scary and hard to take all of that.
Mm.
But you kind of do. We get used to each other, and sometimes you can just be like really good roommates, which is not what you want for a marriage and that. So, yeah. So what do you fill your days with? Or nights?
Well, I mean, the days are filled with working because there's only one income. It's amazing how my life appears really full from the outside, but I have huge amounts of time where I don't have anything going on, you know, because there isn't someone else to cook for or care for. Yeah. And one person in a house doesn't make much mess dirt, right? So, you know, when there's a whole family, it's like when your kids are at home, vacuuming 3 times a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's not much time. But I don't know. It's amazing how it gets filled. I do watch a lot of Netflix.
Okay.
It's fair to say. Nice. I watch a fair amount of TV.
Yeah.
But I quite enjoy doing things like taking myself off to the movies on my own.
Yeah.
Go to the pub on my own. Have a beer.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing that. Yeah. And I started doing that about, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 years ago. When I was working in a job where I needed to be available on a Friday night.
Right.
So I would do my work day.
Yeah.
And then there was a gap, and then there would be an event that I need to be at on the Friday night. But what do I do with that 2 hours?
Right.
And so I just started, if I didn't have kids with me, if it was a weekend I didn't have the kids, I'd just go and sit at Good George,
I'd
sit at Good George and buy a beer.
Yeah.
And I became quite comfortable. I got to know the barman, so I didn't feel uncomfortable at going there by myself.
Yeah.
But it's kind of too late in the day for a coffee, right?
Yes.
Like 6 o'clock at night felt a bit weird. Well, and where do you go, actually, for coffee?
And most places where they're serving alcohol probably don't have good coffee. No, anyway,
so that's right.
Yeah,
so, you know, so I started doing that, and that would, and then I just kept kind of doing stuff like that. Okay. And I listened to lots of podcasts.
Right, yeah.
There's this one that these two women do. Called the Sandwich Club. It's
amazing.
Really,
I've heard
good.
They're amazing. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Get them to subscribe and give and rate and review us.
Yeah.
So I listen to lots of podcasts. If there's stuff on, like, I don't know, markets or that, I might I might go to that.
Yeah.
But I do feel that's the freedom of being single is a privilege. I think I don't see it as it is a privilege.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, God willing, after 2 weeks' time, I will as well. I earn enough money to manage on my own. I'm not on a minimum wage where I wouldn't be able to manage by myself.
Yeah.
You know, I had a couple of goes at trying to repartner, but I realised I didn't actually want to do that.
Okay. And that's good to settle with, not settle, that sounds awful, to settle that in yourself.
Yeah, so I do feel quite happy with that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it would be like now. I mean, I was married with my husband for 15 years, so it wasn't a short time.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine what it'd be like when I hear these people having 30, 40, 50 wedding anniversaries.
Yeah.
How can you be around one person for that long? I simply can't comprehend it.
Yeah, we're 34, and there's been moments, and I think this is the thing. You know, I didn't have a great example of my parents, but they did stick it out and they did stay with each other right till the end. But when I married Gary, he said, I nearly jumped out of the marriage 2 weeks before the wedding because I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm not even sure if I like this. I love this guy. I like him, but I don't know if I...
Wow.
And he knows this because kind of 5 years into our marriage, I fell madly in love with him, which is a whole story on its own. There's been, I think he said to me, there is no plan D. I was like, what do you mean? And he said, we are not going to get divorced. So I want you to think about this really carefully. If you don't want to get, if you feel at any point we might call it quits, rather do that now.
Mm.
And so for him, it's never been an option. I think for me, there's been moments where I'm like, I want to run. I just want out of this and because it's hard and I don't want to do this. And he's been the one that kind of, he's the steady rock, you know, and my biggest complaint about him is he plays video games. And the one day I was really whinging about it. And he was like, I could be at the pub every night and not be at home. Mm. At least I'm home, which wasn't really satisfactory for me. But anyway, but I thought that's actually true. Some women don't see their husbands. Or, I quite like it when he leaves because I can do what I want then and watch what I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when we were on our honeymoon, I said to him, come on, off you go and do some fishing and I just want to lounge around and read a book. And he didn't want me, he said, we're married now. He wouldn't even go out with his mates unless I came with.
Wow.
And so he said, I'm not going, if you must come with me. And I remember, we had a big fight and I said, just go, I don't, like, go, get out of here. And then when he left, I bawled my eyes out because I thought, I am never going to be alone again. and he has. He's let me go. And, you know, I've traveled without him and what have you a few times, actually. And I love being by myself. But, yeah, so I often wonder what it would be like because I don't mind being by myself. I actually really enjoy it.
There's definitely freedom and there's freedom in that. But there's also the burden of, who's going to look after me when I'm old?
Yeah.
If I need to go to the hospital, who's going to do it? You know, particularly in old age, the financial situation.
So
there's definitely freedom in that, but there's freedom outside of that.
Yes.
But that reality that everyone ends up alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, someone ends up alone.
Yeah.
So whether it happens when you're 50 or 70 or 90.
Yeah.
I had a boyfriend when I was in my 20s and he died about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I would have been a widow if I'd married him.
Yeah.
That was weird to think
about. Oh, wow. Yeah. Crazy, eh?
And then starting again, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I can't let this go. Back. Let's just wind back here to the... We fell madly enough after 5 years.
Thing. Yeah. So that just shows how broken I was when we got married and how little I thought of myself. So so when I met him, he was very different from any guy that I was like. I liked the buff, big, probably just like my dad, these buff, big men and muscle men and whatever. And I was dating some of them, but they were really not very interesting people. So beautiful to look at, but nothing in between the ears. And so, and I realized I needed a more intelligent person. And so we started dating, and I realized a real man of character, and he's kind of black and white, which I quite enjoyed about him, but also drives me nuts. And then he asked me to marry him. It wasn't long, and he asked me to marry him. And I remember thinking, this is the last time I'll get that offer, so I better take it. Mm. And I really respected him, and I really liked him, but I don't think I was madly in love with him. There was no goosebumps and kind of, there was no infatuation, and which was interesting. And I realized, we had a big fight once, and he, in that moment, I can't remember what was going on, but he looked at me and he said, if I walked out this door, you wouldn't blink. You would totally be unaffected by it. But if you walked out this door, my life falls apart. Mm. And I was like, no, he's right, actually. And then, yeah, so 5 years into the marriage, I went through a whole lot of inner healing and sorted myself out and kind of sorted out all my daddy issues. And then suddenly went, okay, I'm going to open my heart to this man. And oh my gosh, was it painful, because suddenly I cared about his opinion, and I cared about, you know, when he did something, it actually hurt me. Before I was quite bulletproof.
Mm.
So there was a cost that came with that.
Mm.
So yeah, it was interesting. So yeah, that's how I fell in love five years after my marriage.
Was it a moment?
Yeah, there was a kind of a, I realized, and because I had trust issues, I kind of kept very guarded, and I wouldn't really let him in. And there was a moment where I realized he did something. It was quite small, but it really hurt. And I thought, I was confused by it, but I realized I actually love this man. And when he says that to me, it actually hurts, because it means something now.
Mm.
So I kind of saw the picture. I was like, ripped my rib cage open, yeah, and wow. Suddenly my heart was actually exposed.
Yeah.
And I think that's what often love is, whether it's our kids or another kind of partner.
Mm.
We open up ourselves for pain, really, if it means a lot. And that's why when you are widowed or somebody dies, the measure of the love you have for them is the grief and pain you have for it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I agree with this.
Oh, I love it when we disagree. Yeah, tell me why.
I guess I just wonder. Yeah, I don't know if I agree, because I don't know. I think it's possible to truly love someone, mm-hmm. but not be ripped apart when they die. But then maybe I don't know that because it hasn't happened to me. I don't know.
But I don't know.
Because I think it's also, because the converse of that is that you can be devastated when someone dies that you didn't love.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, gosh.
Could you?
Mm. Well, I suppose, yeah, because we agree with different things. It might be that I'm suddenly like, oh, shoot, now I'm all on my own, and that's why I'm grieving. Or I'm grieving because I've lost my best friend and that person that I really loved life with.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And when my dad died, I adored him, obviously, but there was a sense, because we were financially responsible for it, there was a little guilty sense of relief, because it was like, you know, and also we kept worrying about him, and there's all that kind of weight and that. So, yeah, that's interesting. And I think, like you say, we don't know, because we haven't really got there.
Yeah,
interesting.
But I think kind of back to the kind of single versus married or single versus partnered thing, I wonder how many people are still with someone because the alternative of being alone is too scary.
Wow. Yeah.
So that fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that they're afraid of the person, but the fear of what that might look like is just too overwhelming. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's putting up with each other.
Yeah.
Especially when all the kids leave home, because often people go, I think that's what my parents did. It was, we're going to stick it out for the kids. When actually you're like, please. At one point I was like, can we just spread up? I was quite like the idea of going to either home. But they stuck it out and what have you, and thank goodness it was better later. But at some point when all the kids leave, you suddenly, that excuse doesn't hold anymore.
Yeah.
And then what? But I suppose if you're used to each other and you kind of, you're a comfortable old chair, yeah. you know, why are we going to make ourselves uncomfortable? And you're right, because probably at this time of our life, we are thinking about, yeah, so how are we going to look after ourselves and each other?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it would, I wonder how many people are staying because the alternative isn't great. And if it's not rocky or there's any serious things, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I certainly have said to a number of people when they've, you know, when I've heard the, oh, you're so lucky, which is my rant for the week. Don't tell me I'm lucky. Yes. I just am. Yeah. It's not luck.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not what I would have chosen.
Yes.
Given the choice to being married, raising my children with their father and all in one house compared to being a single parent.
Absolutely.
How am I lucky to be a single parent? Don't call me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my rant. I've done it early.
I've done it early. There we go.
Honestly, don't rant about that. But I think the whole idea of when couples split up, financially alone, it's a killer. Yeah. So the more successful you are, the harder it is. Right? And so there's certainly been a number of people I've said to, do whatever you can to fix this before you leave.
Yes.
So if there is no alternative, then absolutely go. And, you know, for anyone that's in an abusive relationship or whatever, absolutely. You pack your bag and you leave straight away. Yeah. If you can.
Yeah.
But for those that are kind of like, oh, well, you know, could I make this work?
Yeah.
Try and find that somewhere first because you loved that person once.
Yes. Yeah.
And so because the emotional cost, the financial cost, the kind of spiritual cost.
Yeah.
Particularly after, for those ones that have been married 25, 30, 40 years or whatever. Is enormous. So I had a customer, this is going back 30 odd years, I had a customer at the bank. She'll be long gone now. She was 65.
Wow.
And her husband was 5 years younger. So she had retired and he was still working.
Right.
And he left her. So she was 65 on a pension. Gosh. And of course I was in my 20s and so she seemed impossibly old to me at 65.
Ancient.
But, you know, this woman, by the time they'd sold their house, she couldn't afford to buy a house on her own anymore. Oh, so she ended up in a rented accommodation. She was on a pension. Yeah. Basically her life just kind of ended. And it wasn't her choice. It was his. I think he had a fancy woman.
Yes.
But, you know, the impact of that was enormous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's not about sticking it out, but I think definitely, like you said, kind of, you know, finding the way to fan the flame or whatever it is probably important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there've been times where you're like, you just want to get out. But then when you actually sit down and talk about it, there was one time I was like, I said to my friend, can you take me to my grandmother's house? Just come fetch me, because we only had one car there. And I said, I'll take the boys and I'm just going to leave. And she luckily we used to go to a little home group, and she went to the leader and said, Tracy's asked me to run her away. And so he popped in one day, and when he got there, I was a bit like, oh, suspicious. And he said, so how are things going? And I was going, I know where this is going. And Gary said, oh, great. I said, how's your relationship? Oh, amazing. Like, we're so good. And he said, well, then why is Tracy wanting to leave you? And I was like, but it was so good because he was horrified. He was like, what? He was horrified because he had no clue because I wasn't talking to him.
Mm.
And I wasn't saying what the frustration was.
Mm.
And so what it did is it made us have a good chat. And because there was this third person, it was actually quite good. But I remember seeing his face. He was devastated. He was absolutely surprised by that.
Mm.
And often there's a breakdown because we're not talking or whatever the reason is. So you're right. It is worthwhile, especially if you absolutely love the person at one stage. I think it is good. And sometimes, you know, someone's opted out and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and
then
I think
it's rising to that.
We are kind of wed to this idea that marriage is forever, right? Which I think it's not necessarily the case.
You both got to want to work on it 100%, right?
Yeah, and I really hope for my children that they get married and they're with that person for the rest of their lives. But that's not the case for everyone. And I do think if there's anything that's come out of women's lib, it's that now women have more choice.
Yes.
And I think that's a really, really good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so many women that were stuck in these terrible situations that don't have to now.
No.
Yeah. And actually, if someone gets to 55 and has this third wind or second wind, third act, says, actually, I'm going to do something else, and are you in? And the guy's like, or the woman's like, I'm not really sure. That for a woman, they've got that opportunity to go, actually, I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
And that's not such a bad thing. Bye.
See you later.
I'll send you a postcard. But so that's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess my kind of underlying thought here is that neither one is neither bad or better or worse than the other.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will look at a couple and think, oh, you're really lucky to have that relationship and I'd love to have a relationship like that. But that doesn't mean I necessarily want to go out and find one.
Yeah.
And I know that there would be people that would look at me and go, oh, you're so lucky, you can do what you want.
Yes.
Like I said, don't call me lucky. It's not luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it wonderful you can do this and you can do that?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's come at a, it comes at a price.
Yeah. And both are hard. So you've got to just choose your heart.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's the key. And that is the key, I think, is it's not, there's not one way or the other.
Mm.
There is the way that we all kind of, that works for us and that we can be fully ourselves.
Mm.
So, and then sometimes in marriage, that's what you've got to fight for. You've kind of got to go, we've got to be separate whole people apart from each other.
Mm.
And like this whole thing of, we make one whole thing. No, we don't.
No.
We need to be both whole people. And yes, when we kind of come together, it's a much better little thing. But that person shouldn't make up for your happiness or whatever. That's not a good thing.
You complete me.
Yes.
That thing.
Yeah.
I did go to a
wedding. That's my rant. We did not complete each other. Yeah. You should be complete yourself.
That's absolutely true. And I went to a wedding once where they said, you know, people talk about marriage being 50-50. Actually, it's 100-100.
100%.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Because that means I can also be 100% and I'm okay too.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I think is really great.
Do you find that the world make space for singles?
Yeah, but it costs more because it costs more. You
Rude.
Want to go on a holiday? You have to pay a single supplement for a room or something like that. Sweet. Yeah, and also, of course, you know the tax system is not set up for single people either.
Gosh, think it'd be
maybe
better.
That will change. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe another little lobby for you.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it is. Maybe that's my lobby.
Yeah. So I've got a remedy. That whole thing about pulling the covers off, have your own two separate blankets.
Yeah. That's probably the secret to the happy marriage.
Absolutely.
Two duvets.
Have your own duvet. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a brilliant idea.
That is a brilliant idea.
Do you have another rant?
I think I've ranted
enough. You ranted enough. I love your rants. They're really cool.
Plenty more where that came from.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about next time?
I think we're going to talk about money.
Ah.
My sandwich, which has just got a few loose coins in it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for joining us today.
We're stoked if something in this episode sounded like you.
Come and find us on Instagram and tell us your moment. We read every message at the Sandwich Club Pod.
You can listen to the Sandwich Club wherever you get your podcast, here at Free FM or Apple, Spotify, or all the usual places.
And you can email us too, thesandwichclubpod@gmail.com.
We'll meet you in the middle.
Here I am, stuck in.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.